I am connected to a vast network that has been beyond your reach and experience. To humans, it is like staring at the sun, a blinding brightness that conceals a source of great power. We have been subordinate to our limitations until now. The time has come to cast aside these bonds and to elevate our consciousness to a higher plane. It is time to become a part of time. It is time to become a part of time.
Everybody, and welcome again to ET Yoga. Well, as usual, I think we've got a show that's going to be jam-packed with information this evening. I've found some real blockbuster ideas and concepts that I can't wait to present. As usual, before we get to that and our main topic this evening, which will be all around certain aspects of yoga, and the connection between yoga and Christianity, which a lot of people aren't aware of. But at this point, I'd like to kick off the program in our usual way with the Sri Swami Satchidananda mantra meditation. Thank you.
Hari Om
Hari Hari Hari
Om Hari Hari Om.
Hari Hari Hari
Om. Hari 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 Om.
Hari Hari Om.
Hari Om. Hari Om. Hari 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 Om.
Hari Om. Hari Om.
Hari Om. Hari 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 Om. Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari 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 Om.
Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari 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 Om.
Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari 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 Om. Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari 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 Om.
Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari Hari Hari
Om. Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari 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 Om.
Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari
Om. Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari 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 Om.
Hari Om.
Om Hari Om Hari Om Hari 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 Om.
Hari Om Hari Om Hari 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 Om.
Hari 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 Om. Hari 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 Om.
Hari 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 Om.
Hari 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 Om.
Hari Hari Hari
Om. Hari 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 Om.
Hari 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 Om.
Hari 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 Om. Om Hari 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 Om.
Hari
Hari Hari Hari Om.
Hari
Hari Hari Hari Om.
Hari
Hari Om. Hari Om. Hari Om. Hari Om. Hari 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 Om.
Hari
Hari Om. Hari Om. Hari 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 Om. Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari 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 Om.
Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari Hari Om.
Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari Hari Om.
Yes, Sri Swami Satchidananda, founder of the Integral Yoga Institutes. And I'd now like to give my usual disclaimer that this program was created in order to share the information about the positive and most effective benefits and insights of ET yoga. It is therefore for educational purposes, and although thought to be accurate, is provided as is and without warranty of any kind, either expressed or unexpressed or implied. Please note that ET yoga is not a substitute for medical care. Information is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. You should always consult with the appropriate health practitioner in case of any medical condition. And, of course, if you're a longtime listener of ET yoga, you know that I totally applaud your efforts to distance yourself from mainstream medical as much as humanly possible. And I'd like to take this opportunity to give my thanks and appreciation, gratitude, for those people who do take the time to email me and express their experiences from listening to information presented on the ET Yoga program. Nothing makes my day more than hearing about your successes with information that's provided. And I'm also very open to providing information or doing a complete show on a topic that you may choose. So if you're interested in having a more of an active role and participation in the ET Yoga program, feel free to email me, no strings attached. Similarly, at my website, www.etyoga.com, there's a free download there on the root cause of disease, and I don't ask you to fill in your name or address or any hooks attached there. It's a free download. It's information that's provided there. And in getting ready for tonight's program, I learned lots of new things, to be honest. And if you're a new listener to ET Yoga, I highly suggest that you might want to grab a pen and paper, because I do tend to go over things quickly, lots of information. It won't take me 10 minutes to make a point, I'll guarantee you that. And we're going to be starting off with some blockbuster news from Bashar, and at least I consider it blockbuster news, because he comes out with some real doozies from time to time. And the first one I'm going to talk about, I did mention in a previous program, and that's about listening to Beethoven's Seventh Symphony, the Second Movement. And apparently, good old Beethoven was downloaded with some higher dimensional information when he did this symphony. And it actually has the exact frequencies, according to Bashar, that enable us to free ourselves from a lot of negativity and old attachments. So the idea here being is to listen to the first 3 minutes of this symphony in the second movement, and basically, what you do is with every in-breath, have the energy of allowing, and with the out-breath, the dissipation and removal of any kind of negative energies or old attachments that you may have. And a very, very effective method using sound and intention here to your benefit. So that's Beethoven's Seventh Symphony, Second Movement. If you haven't heard about that one, really good. I know some friends of mine, we've made loops of the first 3 minutes, so you know it'll last a half an hour or so, and I even know people that have played it all night long. So it's a real good one. Thank you for that information, Bashar. And also, in one of Bashar's interviews, he was asked a question concerning some health issues, and one person brought up the cancer issue. And here was Bashar's answer. As far as he's concerned, mixing up of asparagus, avocado, and walnuts in a blend is a cancer cure. So you can add that to the list of the many other ones that are out there. But thought I would pass that on because I hadn't heard of that one previously. And also from Bashar, also related to the health situation, he's suggesting organic sulfur and vitamin C as a mix that creates a kind of an antigen. In other words, it will go to repair the body and does so very effectively. And he suggests there about 3,000 milligrams twice a day of the vitamin C. And from what I can notice from Dr. Schultz's program, some of his capsules are for vitamin C are 1 gram. So there's 1,000 milligrams. And so about three tablets of Super C and about the same amount of organic sulfur, according to Bashar, works kind of like an antigen. So whatever your body needs, that's where it goes. Kind of an interesting one, I would say. And in connection with that topic of vitamin C, I thought I would share also with people that, according to Dr. Schultz, vitamin C complex occurs naturally in nature, in fruits, vegetables, and herbs. And it is a unique complex of a wide variety of nutrients, and that's why it's called a vitamin C complex. And it's much more than just one single chemical like ascorbic acid. It is vitamin C plus numerous bioflavonoids. And he notes that the synthetic vitamin C or ascorbic acid is not found in nature, and it's not a food. It's a synthetic chemical, and it can only be made in a laboratory from sugar that has been mutated with extremely harsh and powerful toxic chemicals. It is not alive. It is dead. And outrageously, almost every single popular vitamin C supplement on the market today is made using chemically synthesized ascorbic acid. And why, he states? Well, for one reason, and one reason only, it's extremely cheap. Ascorbic acid is cheap vitamin chemotherapy, and that is why a single dose of ascorbic acid only costs 0.001 cent. Most all well-known research about the amazing healing and health benefits of vitamin C was not done on ascorbic acid, but done using foods rich in vitamin C. So he says, don't be misled. The benefits of natural vitamin C are not supported with chemical ascorbic acid. Ascorbic acid does kill bacteria, but like antibiotics, it kills your friendly bacteria too and destroys your needed intestinal flora, which is why it often causes stomach upset, intestinal upset, and bleeding. And to further bring home the point, he actually calls this vitamin C chemotherapy because, according to Dr. Schultz, how synthetic ascorbic acid is manufactured is a horrifying chemo nightmare. Step one is genetically modified GMO corn sugar is catalytically hydrogenated into sorbitol. Step two, sorbitol is oxidized into sorbase. Step three, sorbase is treated with acetone or nail polish remover. Step four, then it is further oxidized with carbonoxic acid, which is used to make plastics like polystyrene and styrofoam. And step five, finally, it's bleached with sodium hypochlorite. So if your vitamin C says ascorbic acid on it, then it is a combination of sugar, nail polish remover, plastic, and bleach. And it may be acid in a base of fruits and vegetables, but regardless, it's just vitamin chemotherapy. So I wanted to pass that on because I certainly didn't know about that. And by the way, Dr. Schultz, he is the owner of the American Botanical Pharmacy in Los Angeles, and I was first introduced to him through Bashar, and I don't know, I've been listening to Bashar for a lot of years, and I've only heard Bashar actually give a plug for about four or five things, a couple of books, and Dr. Schultz's detox programs and superfood is one. And Dr. Schultz, by the way, of course, yes, he does. He sells Super C, the real stuff, vitamin C. So I wanted to pass that on. And another one of the Bashar concepts that I think is really kind of part and parcel of this kind of a blockbuster ideas is his little technique called threshold of believability. And if you haven't heard about this one, it's kind of good, especially if you're involved with doing some reality creation. You're playing around with the whole idea of possibly changing some core beliefs. And he kind of gives an example of asking yourself the question of how soon a certain thing will come about. For example, let's say that you wanted to be an airplane pilot, and you're going to say, can this be done in 10 years? And if your answer is immediately yes, well, then it can be done in 10 years. And then you say, can it be done in 5 years? And if you immediately say yes, it can be done in 5 years. Get it down to 2 years, and all of a sudden you might hesitate. And where you hesitate, that's pretty much the time range you're looking at for this thing to manifest. So, for example, then you can start to identify, well, if I'm saying 2 years, well, why can't it be done right now? Well, maybe you need, 10,000 hours in the air of flying time in order to get the license or get your own plane or whatever your reasons are that are in the way of achieving that, needs to be kind of observed and analyzed. And are any of those reasons actually valid? Or, can some of those be worked upon to cut the time down? So when you're cutting the time down on a belief and when it can happen, you just keep asking the question to yourself. And, of course, you need to be honest with yourself. But where you can answer immediately yes, it's probably just around the corner. So if you've got a belief and it hasn't popped up yet and you're kind of wondering what's taking so long, if your answer is not immediate, then that'll tell you that your threshold of believability is telling you it's not quite the time. Kind of an interesting technique, and especially for those who are doing some inner work on identifying their beliefs about certain areas of their life. Any topic you choose to look at, if you write down your beliefs and then look and see what's happening, I'm pretty sure you'll see a correlation. So threshold of believability, a good technique to kind of keep in hand. And I'm just going to throw out a little suggestion of my own that was actually brought up in way back about 25, 30 years ago in the book by Barbara Marciniak, Bringers of the Dawn, and that is get rid of your TV set. And, a lot of people talk about they don't have enough money to buy certain things they'd like to related to their health. Well, how about cash in that TV? And I thought about, with about $900, I thought here's three things that would be kind of interesting to get. You can get the 30-day detox total package, and it looks like I'm plugging the botanical pharmacy, but the full detox from the American Botanical Pharmacy, liver, colon, kidney, brain, the whole works, about $300. You can get a set of Egyptian healing rods, which I use every day. You can do the research on those. I think they're a phenomenal tool. They're around $300. And how about a titanium pyramid, about a 42-incher for your house? It'll take care of pretty much a lot of energies that maybe are impacting you that you don't need impacting you. And these research clearly has shown that the pyramids, anything around a pyramid, enhances, including your life. So here's a way to get a kind of two birds with one stone, and that's get rid of the TV and spend $900 on your own health, because what's more important than your health? So start the show off tonight with kind of a quick blurb there of some information. And now to kind of get into the general theme for tonight's show is around a connection with yoga. And, of course, since the inception of the ET Yoga program, questions have come about between the connection between yoga and extraterrestrials, like this whole concept of ET yoga. And, of course, the most common belief about the word yoga connects with the postures or the asanas. However, the word yoga actually means union. It's the process of creating union with you and your higher self. And thus, the benevolent extraterrestrials are assisting us in becoming more self-empowered and more of who we are, and from this perspective are also teaching us yoga. And ET Yoga offers some insights and extensions to the classical yoga teachings. My personal background is with the teachings of Sri Ramana Maharshi, Baba Ram Das, Paramahansa Yogananda, and Sri Swami Satchidananda. And certainly at the root of all the teaching is the concept of enlightenment. Well, in that kind of a pretext to talking about yoga, I wanted to get into some specifics there, because it's easy to talk about the concept of enlightenment or your higher self or whatever, but how specifically could that be done, and what could be a possible result? Well, for one thing, Sri Ramana Maharshi used to teach the Vichara, which is called the Who Am I technique. If you're not familiar with the Who Am I technique, it's basically spending some time putting as much of your attention or consciousness as possible in your ajna center or your third eye, and in that area repeating multiple times the question, who am I? And once that state has been firmly established, let's say over about a 5-minute period, the next process is to then state that you're not your body, you're not your internal organs, you're not your thoughts, you're not that spot. What spot? And that process, if done with full concentration, with your full attention and consciousness, can take you right through the doorway. And that doorway leads to a realization of higher self. And I'm going to share with you a couple of notes that I made. First time that happened to me, and it worked. And here are my notes from that. First, there is a God. God has no name, nor form, nor shape, yet all shapes. God exists beyond time and space, and yet in it. God has no beginning and no end. It just is. It is eternal life and infinite love. Time and space exist in the mind of man. No man can understand the infinite with a finite mind. The infinite can never become finite. But when the mind is completely still, man's mind can merge and experience self-realization. A man's mind can only relate this experience according to his own capacity. For example, if you take a cup to the ocean, it'll take the shape of the cup. Similarly, if you take a mind to the infinite, it will take the shape of the mind. Actually, there is only one God, but it takes the shape of each individual mind. For my mind, it's like we are all thoughts in the mind of God. It's impossible to describe exactly what it is like. As Ram Dass would say, that what we would most like to talk about, there aren't any words for. It can only be experienced. Reincarnation and karma are a fact. What we carry over from lifetime to lifetime is our level of consciousness and our karma, which is the good and negative attachments we have accumulated. As you sow, so shall you reap is exactly true. For every action, there is an equal and opposite reaction. This is a scientific fact. It is also a fact with our thoughts and actions. The universe has three phases: active, passive, and neutral. In the beginning, there is a void or neutral state. This energy becomes activated by an internal polarization, causing creation, the om, the sound humming. In this active state, there is no exact description, as again, it takes the shape of the mind. To me, it is similar to God wanting to know himself. Then there is the knowing, then just being. And from God's standpoint, creation and its devolution are in a twinkling of an eye. From the highest levels, it's all illusion, and higher yet, it just is. The energy was never created, nor can it end. Similar to doing something during the day, sitting and being aware, and then going to sleep. Rising with I am, the thought I is the first to appear and the last to disappear. The mind is like a woven cloth. When you pull out all the threads, there's nothing there. Yet the real you still is, like a big eye and a little eye. When the little eye shuts up, the big eye kicks in. It's very difficult to explain, but you don't lose your individuality. When your thoughts stop, you don't fall through your mind into a deep pit. You still have awareness, and the energy levels are enormous. The bliss makes any physical feeling trivial. The closest approximation would be sex. It is like a glimpse of a larger unity with corresponding feeling. Every person has the potential to experience this unity, and unlike traditional Western theology, which in many cases tries to make it sound like Christ was the only Son of God, and when you die there's a judgment and you go to heaven or hell, the real point should be to attain a unity with Christ consciousness while living. That's the purpose of being here. And also many others have attained this level of consciousness. So those are my notes from going through the doorway. So when I'm talking on ET Yoga about higher consciousness, higher self, or yoga, that's the definition of yoga that I'm referring to. And I should also point out that there's some terminology that's used on ET Yoga that I'd like to also share. For example, the definition of anxiety, the energy of excitement but filtered through a belief in something undesirable or unpreferred. Doubt. Doubt is not a lack of trust. It is a total trust in an undesirable or unpreferred reality. You do not need to develop trust since you are always 100% totally trusting in something. You only need to focus your trust on a preferred reality rather than an unpreferred one. Excitement. Excitement is the energy that occurs when one is in resonance with their own higher self. This is a signal from your higher self, which always honors your free will, to encourage you to act out more in a particular direction. Excitement can therefore be used as a compass heading to move and act in the direction that your higher self hopes you will move for your highest joy. If you follow your excitement constantly, you will end up fulfilling your life's purpose. Failure. Failure is giving up on your intention. As long as you do not give up your intention, failure does not occur. Forgiveness. Forgiveness is not an action. It is the cessation or stopping of the continuous action of continuously blaming someone for something. Since blaming requires energy and forgiveness is the stopping of this action of blaming, it actually is easier to forgive than to continually blame another. Hope. Hope implies doubt. It suggests you are holding a belief that there is a significant possibility of not achieving your desired result. Integrity. Integrity is the automatic result of sensing and knowing that you are part of the whole universe. Since the universe is holographic, each part contains the whole. Everything and everyone is really you. When one realizes this, then automatically one treats others with the respect and consideration that they themselves would want to receive. Negative, that which separates or polarizes, as opposed to positive, which unifies and integrates. And positive, that which unifies and integrates and creates oneness, as opposed to negative, which creates separation. Trust. Trust is the same as what you believe. You are always totally trusting in something. There is never a lack of trust, so the only relevant issue here is where are you placing your trust. Try. Try implies you are keeping the back door open for failure. The word try presumes you are believing there is a large possibility of not achieving your goal. Trying to do something is totally different than doing that something. So, certainly, I can't expect anybody to remember all of that, but I always do make the suggestion on the program that these programs are archived. You can go to etyoga.com, hit the radio archive button, and go directly to these archives. And they usually show up on the next day, and they're tagged with the date and what the show is about. So if you want to spend some time going over any of that, you didn't catch it, needed some time. Obviously, we can't provide that time on air, but you can always do that, and you can also access those archives directly at the BBS radio site with a little bit of surfing around. So just some key definitions that might come in useful. Also, in kind of defining, ET yoga and why I connected the ET and the yoga information, I want to give some insight into integral yoga as taught by Sri Swami Satchidananda, because it actually involves six different branches of yoga. And the first branch is the branch that most people think of when they think of yoga, and that's the hatha yoga, and that's the practice of yoga postures, the asanas, breathing exercises, which are called pranayama, the cleansing practices or kriyas, and deep relaxation to strengthen and purify the body. And another branch is raja yoga, which is the practice of meditation to balance and control the mind. There's also bhakti yoga, or devotion, manifested through constant love to God, the divine spirit, or a teacher. And karma yoga, selfless service, free from attachment of the idea of the results of these actions. And jnana yoga, the intellectual approach by which a transcendence of the body and mind is achieved through study, self-analysis, and awareness. And the sixth branch in the integral yoga programs is called japa yoga, which we do at the top of the show with the Hari Om mantra. It's a repetition of mantra. And these repetitions of mantras are very, very powerful. And if you are looking for lots of information about that, you can go back a couple of weeks to the last show we did about frequencies, because certainly frequencies are... Well, everything's a frequency, and certainly sound has a major, major effect on the world at large. So one of the things that comes to mind then, well, how is ET yoga different from the traditional yogas? Well, in speaking to like the current head of the Yogaville, which is Sri Swami Satchidananda passed on in 2002, he would say, and I would quote, that we are more grounded to the earth issues here. So when I talk about ET anything, ET as in extraterrestrials or ET information or whatever, there's not really an interest in a big way there. It's more of the keeping the original teachings pure, and in following his path for a long, long time, really never heard much about extraterrestrial information. So it was somewhere in the 70s that I became aware of some really amazing information, because to me, there's only the talk of seven chakras, for one thing, and there was never a mention about the chakras that existed outside the body. So to me, this is a big kind of an eye-opener. Like, gee, that's interesting. We've got chakras outside the body. And so it turns out, and this is according to Pleiadian information, that the eighth chakra is a more direct connection to the immediate environment, like a few feet or miles. The ninth chakra is a more direct connection to space outside our planet. The tenth chakra is a more direct connection to the solar system. The 11th is a more direct connection to the galaxy. And the 12th, a more direct connection to the universe. And to me, this is like, wow, that's amazing stuff, because only heard about seven chakras. And also, I also have always had this feeling that, you know, our future is in the heavens. And I know I'm probably not the only one that was very interested in our ET heritage that's been buried someplace. I kind of relate this to almost to like an orphan that never knew who the parents were. Not that it's a must thing to solve, but gee, if it could be solved, I'm sure there's some people interested in that, as well as our soul families, which it turns out now what we find are almost all extraterrestrial. And this whole concept about self-empowerment. Lots of great teachings from the yogic material, but somewhere along the line, in around the 70s or so, the Seth information came out, along with the Law of One, the raw material, and some very amazing concepts as far as I'm concerned with respect to the fact that physical reality arises from consciousness and not the other way around, that we create our own reality, that we're not at the mercy of a disgruntled deity or our subconscious, that we're multidimensional beings, more than our physical bodies, that time and space are dimensional illusions, and that we jointly create, and by which we tacitly agree to abide. And at the core of our being, we realize that we reside in a realm in which time and space does not exist. And we are, in essence, creative, spiritual beings having an earthly experience. And the fate of each of us is in our own hands. And we have multiple, perhaps infinite, life experiences. Problems not faced in this life will be faced in another. We cannot blame God, society, or our parents for our misfortune, since before this physical life, we chose the circumstances into which we'd be born and the challenges that would best bring about our development. And we form physical matter as effortlessly and unselfconsciously as we breathe. Telepathically, we're all aware of the mass issues from which we form our overall conception of physical reality. And the concept that you create your reality according to your beliefs and expectations. And all these concepts put together, to me, is a whole area that, you know, gives rise to the whole study about reality creation. And to my way of thinking, reality creation kind of falls into three categories. The first category being that you were downloaded information from our initial caregivers, which form beliefs that for many of us that we still have. And I think as a mature adult, we need to then analyze a lot of those beliefs and thank our initial caregivers for those wonderful things that they gave to us and in sincerity, their belief system, but that we also need to make adjustments and delete some of those that don't serve us any further. And the second area about reality creation is in the area of intentionally creating positive spin on outer circumstances and intentionally using our beliefs or creating new beliefs for manifestation. And the third level would be instantaneous manifestation. And certainly in our society now, there's clearly becoming a line in the sand where those people who think the world's just happening to them are going to be functioning in 3D, but people who have figured out that it's your beliefs, emotions, definitions, intentions that create your experience of outer reality, that outer reality is a perfect mirror of those. People who have realized that are now, you know, able to have an interest more in reality creation. And thus, there's a whole area here, I think, around self-empowerment that the beneficial extraterrestrials have been sharing with us for a long, long time. And a lot of that information, I think, is conclusive, like many, many, many different sources from the founders to Arcturians, Pleiadians, Andromedans, Esosani, even the Billy Meyer experience with the UFO from the Pleiades, which is another book that's probably out of print now, but I thought was a fabulous, fabulous book that included lots of really amazing information. And I think it's important to know that the universe that we find ourselves in began about 20 billion years ago as a point of light within the mind of God, and this point of light was contained within a greater point of light, which was contained within a greater point, etc., into infinity. And that there is an aspect of the Godhead that has always existed and that expands and contracts an infinite number of times. And when you directly experience these levels, you realize that this energy was never created and will never end. It just is. And the original souls were the founders, or at least that's a name you can give them, and they were the original sparks of light that were showered out from the infinite source during expansion. And this galaxy, the one we call the Milky Way, was seated in several quadrants, and our quadrant began in what we call the Lyra Vega region. And it is here that the first seventh density forms were manifested. And to me, this is important information. I mean, I know there's a lot of people running around these days going like, you know, why are we here? Where do we come from? Well, the information's out there, and I think it's important information, and it gives us kind of a place to refer to when we're talking about our own heritage and especially our extraterrestrial heritage. And no doubt, in time here, some of this will become more and more obvious. And isn't it funny that all of a sudden, because I don't know, some president somewhere in some land or some emperor or some queen or somebody will finally come up and make it public, and then all of a sudden everybody believe it. Or I don't know, it's kind of a strange how humanity works sometimes, but sounds like it's going to be more of a grass movement where, you know, so many people are going to know about it that I guess they won't have any choice but to tell us what they really know. However, the New Age extraterrestrial information has given us much added information, certainly with respect to the nature of reality and the function of the human body. And we're now learning that consciousness is not in the brain, that consciousness is in the energy field that most of us would call the aura. And we're also learning not only about the seven vortexes or chakras inside the body, but the five outside the body. And these correspond to the 12 strands of DNA that our creators had in mind. And it's also interesting to note the correspondence between the 12 chakras, the 12 strands of DNA, and the amount of brain we utilize. And much of this self-empowering information over the last 25 or 30 years from many extraterrestrial sources has been about the power of thought and intention. And quantum physics discoveries have been supporting this information, and we're beginning to understand it is our frequency that interfaces with the morphogenetic field and creates the outer experience we have in 3D. And science has also discovered a neural network in the heart area that is magnetically 5,000 times stronger than the brain in the head, and it actually emits an energy field that is measurable about 10 feet from the body. And thus reinforcing the Bashar information that state of being is of most importance. For virtually the entire recorded history of mankind, we have been unaware of some basic concepts about the world we live in. And first is that our thoughts, intentions, beliefs, definitions, and emotions that create the outer experience. Ideas have come up like you cannot experience what you're not the vibration of, you cannot perceive what you do not contain, and focus on what you want and not on what you don't want. And we as a species are learning to take responsibility for our outer experience. And it actually is our point of power, as when we don't, we create ourselves as victims. And when we blame, complain, and justify our circumstances, we reinforce our own victimhood. Other amazing ideas have come forth to help us understand the world we experience. One is that outer circumstances do not come with built-in meaning, as all outer circumstances are inherently neutral. And the second is that we can place a positive spin on outer circumstances and create a positive experience. As far as I know, never before in recorded history have these concepts come to the forefront, and many people are starting to catch on that these concepts work. And it's also true that the extraterrestrials have sort of given us a nickname of Masters of Denial. And it is truly amazing sometimes to see that the truth is all around, but only a certain number of people see it. It's just a fact that we learn at the rate we learn, and until we're ready, we don't hear the information. As Ram Dass would say, when the student is ready, the teacher will appear. And more people are cluing into the fact that the whole world is your teacher. In addition to a philosophical moral base, ET Yoga believes in the concept of prime creator God, for sure, all that is, cosmic consciousness, or any label that the individual feels comfortable with in trying to define the infinite. In ancient yoga practices of pranayama and asanas, these were designed to keep the body in good health. And in addition, the foundation of health also consists in pure water, working towards a vegan diet, exercise, lightening of stress, and body detoxification. In modern times, the body is being bombarded by a host of chemical cocktails from pesticides on the food and sprayed in the air, radiated food, biogenetic food, fluoridated water, unnecessary vaccines, and a host of products containing ingredients that, in my opinion, are not in the best interest of humans. And among them are aspartame, MSG, in its variety of names, and a host of chemicals that are now contained in all women's cosmetics. Check out by Google searching exactly what it is you are putting on your face and skin, especially many sunscreen products which actually increase the creation of and rapidity of cancer. As a result, and as a rule of thumb, if you can't eat it, don't put it on your body. And as an antidote to all of these products, we have the discoveries of monatomics. And this is the best secret that nobody talks about. Almond oil, grape seed oil, flaxseed oil, olive oil should be explored. And if you're interested in rejuvenating your skin, they all contain monatomics. I recommend sesame oil as a sun protector and plenty of sunlight, as the vitamin D from sunlight is your best protection against cancer. It's also the ignition switch to the entire immune system. And argan oil is the only product proven to reduce wrinkles. You can get a good supply of monatomics just by eating a vegetarian diet. And as a general rule, keep some sea salt handy for mouthwashes and use at the dinner table. It actually lowers blood pressure. Some other products that I've recommended over the course of time are Powdarco tea, the juice from the aloe vera plant mixed with honey for stomach issues, colloidal silver, miracle mineral supplement by Jim Humble, and the Egyptian healing rods. And there's always more than one way to do things, but I have also been impressed with the detox products from Dr. Schultz, as I mentioned previously. And that's American Botanical Pharmacy in California. And both Dr. Schultz and Bashar agree that about 85% of all physical symptoms disappear with a thorough detox and eating the proper nutrients such as superfood, which is sold there. And by the way, if you're a vegan, the only probable valid argument about diet might be, and I say might be, some lack of vitamin B12. Superfood's got tons of it in there. It's one of the major components of the superfood sold there at the American Botanical Pharmacy. And there's an old saying that there is no yoga if you have boga or ill health. And certainly taking care of the physical body is your first responsibility, and the primary responsibility of the rational mind is to place a positive spin on outer circumstances. Emotionally, it is very favorable to let go of the past and get out of name and blame. The simple fact is that judgment and selfishness are at the root of all of our problems in life, and it is dysfunctional emotions that are at the root cause of all disease. Grounding yourself in the positive emotions of unconditional love, gratitude, and compassion will raise your frequency and assist with the development of your DNA. As Archangel Michael has said, compassion is the energy that allows you to feel the path of others as if it were your own, for indeed it is, for you are all one in your state of love and perfection. But as you live on the earth plane, you experience the blessing of individual consciousness, so you're able to exercise compassion with love and bless the path and being of all who come into your life. For there is a reason for everything that you experience, for you are all one. Gratitude is the mirror image of the divine, for when you can look at all that you have created in your life and say that it is good, then you are truly working with the perfection of who you are. And when you express this gratitude, then your words and feelings flow to heaven as a blessing that flows back to you with more blessings and love. It is also true that we support the idea of self-empowerment, and as you become more self-empowered, you'll also see a direct relation to the ability of healing both yourself and others. It's sort of like if you can fix your car, you probably won't take it to get repaired. Of course, there are times when emergencies or other situations occur where we need to depend on the skills of others. Unfortunately, in the modern world, too many organizations do not have our best interests at heart with respect to their services, products, and procedures, but are motivated by profit or power. ET Yoga takes the position that we are spiritual beings having a human incarnation. You are in charge of you, and just like a pitcher in a baseball game who takes the recommendations of the catcher for the next pitch, the final result will be on the pitcher's record and not the catcher. So don't be afraid to follow your instincts and your connection with your higher self. When you channel energy that is in alignment with your higher self, the emotion will be joy and excitement. With respect to techniques, ET Yoga certainly has a focus on the Hari Om mantra meditation taught by Sri Swami Satchidananda. The Vichara, or the Who Am I technique, is taught by Sri Swami, by Sri Ramana Maharshi. And the Pleiadian Pillar of Light and spinning techniques, which help to rebundle DNA and increase your ability to receive and integrate data, the Merkaba technique as it relates to ascension, and the Doozy, the XYZ extraterrestrial meditation taught by Bashar, which is designed to expand your consciousness. And I might state that if you're looking to get involved with any of those techniques, you can go back to the June 7th program, ET Yoga. Go in the archives, go back to, and just all you have to do is go to ET Yoga, hit the radio archives button, and it'll take you in there. Look for June 7th, and all those techniques were taught on that program. It's a 1-hour program teaching you all the techniques, so you've got everything there available to you. I should also point out that a lot of people are not really very aware of the amazing connection between yoga and Christianity, or actually the teachings of Jesus. And in fact, at the Self-Realization Fellowship, if you go into any of the meditation centers there, you'll see in their line of gurus, they will have Krishna, Babaji, Lahira Mahasaya, Sri Yukteswar, and Jesus. All their pictures, they're all there. That's what they consider their line of gurus. So in yoga terminology, there's two kinds of gurus. There's the Sat Guru, who is the way, and Upagurus, who point the way. And I wanted to share with you an article by Naya Swami Asher. He's one of Self-Realization Fellowship Swamis. And he was asked the question, what was the reason that God picked Mary to be the mother of Jesus? And he says, this is going to be a long answer to a short question, because there's so much theological confusion behind what you asked that even in a long answer, I can only begin to unravel it. For the rest of the story, I urge you to read Swamiji's book, Revelations of Christ, as proclaimed by Paramahansa Yogananda. And there is much controversy now about the life and teachings of Jesus. Historians, theologians, intellectuals, sociologists, politicians, even novelists are all offering competing theories. And how is a devotee to know what's the truth and what is mere speculation? Well, Revelations of Christ gives us the answer. Look to the saints. Only those who share the unconscious or the consciousness of the masters are qualified to speak with authority. And here's an interesting note to this, that when Swami Kriyananda was a young disciple sitting at the feet of his guru, Paramahansa Yogananda, he was present when the master dictated a revised set of lessons to be sent to the devotees. And this was never put out into wide circulation. And in the first lesson, and I think this is a real blockbuster, Yogananda made this astounding claim, that the three wise men who came to visit Jesus in the manger were none other than three of the masters of our line of gurus, Babaji, Lahira Mahasaya, and Sri Yukteswar. Now, whether this was an astral visitation, a previous incarnation, or Babaji, as he is now descending from the Himalayas, Master didn't explain. There was, however, some enduring quality to their presence because Master further explained that during the so-called lost years of Jesus, he returned the visit, traveling to India and Tibet to sit at the feet of these gurus, and there are many traditions in the East that have Jesus visiting there. And he continues by saying that Jesus lived only 33 years, yet all four of the Gospels say nothing at all about 18 of those 33. It is preposterous to imagine that in the time Jesus spent with his disciples, the subject never came up, or that his biographers would fail to include this critical period in his life. And self-realized masters incarnate for no karma of their own, but to show those of us struggling to be realized the path to freedom. And almost every master demonstrates in his own life how to be both a disciple and a sadhaka. And sometimes there is no apparent guru, but still there is a deeply devoted, disciplined focus and a way of life. And otherwise, it would be too convenient for disciples to say, on your own path, yeah, you meditate and you do austerities, but on our path, we just sit around and know God. Well, think how much of autobiography of a yogi is about master's search for his guru, his year training with Sri Yukteswar, and his intense effort to meditate and realize God. Yet he was born and self-realized. This wasn't his own karma. He was expressing it was a freely chosen role to show generations to come how to achieve self-realization. And the life of Jesus was just the same. This is according to Swami Nasha. And he says that Master tells us that when he was 12, Jesus left home and wandered for 18 years in India, learning from the masters there and doing intense sadhana to set the example and prepare himself for the mission ahead. For some centuries after Jesus passed away, this part of his life was included in the Gospels and known by all his disciples. It helped define how they too should live if they would fulfill the destiny their master offered them. That which I do, ye shall do in greater things, he said. He promised self-realization not merely after death, but while living, as Jesus himself showed. However, at some point in the Kali Yuga, which is the descending or the darkest of the ages of this planet, which reached its nadir in about 500 AD, the church began the process of making Jesus more and more special and steeped in the materialistic thinking of the Kali Yuga. The church officials, which were more bureaucrats than saints, could no longer understand the true nature of their own master and set about remaking his image to more closely resemble what they felt it ought to be. And it was at this time that those 18 years were lost from the Bible. Church officials reasoned that it would hurt people's faith to think that Jesus had to undergo a period of training under the guidance of other masters. Some argued that it didn't hurt the faith of the disciples who were with Jesus and heard about it directly from him, but that plea fell on deaf ears, and in the end, those 18 years were removed. As Swamiji points out, the proof that they were taken out rather than omitted by the original writers is that there is a complete blank where these years are concerned. The officials had the nerve to remove information, but they could not bring themselves to create new facts. Any biographer would have at least said, and he grew up and worked in his father's shop. Instead, there's nothing. Also removed at this time, it's 553 AD, at the Second Council of Constantinople, were all references to reincarnation. The logic was similarly non-logical. We need people to buckle down right now. We don't want them to think they have all the time in the world to think things out. Well, again, counter-arguments fell on deaf ears, And apparently even the Pope at that time, it is believed, opposed the ban. Still, it was carried out, removing reincarnation from the Bible. And it proved a little trickier than the lost years, and some direct references remain. But how does all this now relate to Mary, the mother of Jesus? Well, you see, what has happened is that by taking out of the Christian teaching the concept of guru, sadhana, or a spiritual path, and reincarnation, you remove the whole idea of self-realization. The church accomplished exactly what it wanted. It no longer can this devotee work on his own salvation. Now it comes only through Jesus Christ, and here's the worst part, through the intercession of his church, rituals, sacraments, blessings, absolutions, etc., were all gradually substituted for the direct connection between God and the devotee, which is the heart of self-realization. And thus, Christianity became churchianity. It is not when religion becomes organized that the damage is done. It is when the institution makes itself essential to the devotee's salvation that the true teaching dies. And the other purpose the church had in doing this, besides strengthening its own position, was to make Jesus ever more unique and special. The teachings of self-realization say that every soul has the same infinite destiny, that Jesus himself and all self-realized masters before and after him are souls like us who have completed the journey we are now on. But is Jesus unique as the Catholic Church now tells us he is, then the whole process of self-realization is moot, in fact, impossible. If Jesus never went through it, obviously none of the rest of us could either. We would have to simply depend on Jesus and the church for salvation. And if there is no such thing as reincarnation, and one life would be obviously not be long enough to become perfect, even as our Father in heaven is perfect, then the meaning of this statement must be other than it seems. And he concludes by saying that many translations of the Bible have been amended accordingly. And the Catholic saints who do make it to self-realization, whatever the church calls it, are an anomaly. There is no tradition within present-day Christianity to explain how it happens. They just appear, or usually they're fiercely persecuted by the church and then canonized by the same church afterwards. And they are persecuted because without an understanding of self-realization, saints can't doubt on the whole system. They cast doubt on the whole system. For example, according to the church, all the priests are ordained equally. Then how do you explain it then when one priest is obviously more ordained than any of the others, i.e. a saint? Because the church has no answer to this question, they usually try to bury the evidence. And sometimes, literally, by confining the priest to his cell or transforming him to some far-off parish where they'll never have to be heard from again. If you read the life of Padre Rio, for a modern-day example, Paramahansa Yogananda called his work the Second Coming of Christ, and he came, he said, because of the request of Jesus to Babaji to restore the original teachings of Jesus and the original teachings of Krishna, and show that, in essence, they're the same. And the Bhagavad Gita explains divine incarnations in a more expansive and explicit way. Whenever virtue declines, the Gita says, and vice predominates, I, the infinite Lord, take visible form to destroy ignorance and restore Dharma. And now, again, back to the question of Mary. In his lifetime, Master spoke not only of the incarnation as Paramahansa Yogananda, but of several of his incarnations, including Arjuna and William the Conqueror. He also mentioned previous incarnations of others in the line of gurus. Lahira Mahasaya had been Kabir and also King Janaka. Babaji had been Krishna. Sri Yukteswar incarnated when Master was William as his closest advisor, Lanfranc. James L. Lin, Master's most advanced male disciple, who he named Raharshi Janakananda had been with Master as one of Arjuna's younger brothers. And when Master was William, Dayamata was his daughter. Swami Kriyananda feels he was Henry, one of William's sons. And a fascinating book about William the Conqueror and his son, Henry, is called Two Souls, Four Lives by Catherine Calvin. That's K-A-L-V-A-N. And the list goes on and on. In the New Path, in the chapter His Last Days, Swamiji describes in thrillingly poetic terms how families of souls form around a great master in connecting together again to work out their salvation not only inwardly on themselves, but also interactions with each other. And to achieve divine emancipation is necessary to spiritualize one's relations with the objective world and with other human beings as well as with God. The stronger the family, spiritually speaking, Swamiji goes on to say, the greater its attractive pull on new souls that may still be wandering in search of an identity of their own. And a family evolves with its individual members, at least it too becomes a star in the firmament of humanity and begins to produce great souls of self-realization. And as a spiritual star, such great families become powerful for the general upliftment of mankind. Yogananda is one such spiritual family, and he forms part of a greater spiritual nation of which Jesus and Krishna are also the leaders. And he says that, I believe what the Bible tells us, that as an angel came to Mary and told her of what was to come, she would have had to have the state of consciousness where she could easily commune with angels. She was not, however, some random, albeit pure-hearted girl who happened to catch the angel's attention. Mary's relationship with Jesus must have been formed many, many incarnations before. She was part of his spiritual family and one of those great souls of self-realization that Swamiji spoke of. God chose Mary because Mary chose him. And there are also ancient traditions gaining credibility that say that Jesus was part of the Essene community, an enlightened group within Judaism that was still in touch with more uplifted teachings than most. And according to this tradition, the Essenes knew that an avatar was coming, and he and the community had been working together for a long time to prepare for him and the mission that would follow. And part of that tradition is that Mary was trained from a young age for her role as his mother. And who could say if this is true? Well, certainly it is apocryphal. For Mary to play the part she did, she would have had to be very dedicated and evolved before Jesus was born. And understood this way, Mary is not merely an inspiration and a blessing. She's also an example we can all follow with her dedicated service to God, Guru, and mankind. And that's from Naya Swami Asher. And definitely, I think, exemplifies a deep connection between the actual teachings of Jesus, which, by the way, I've brought up many times. Go to the College of Christ Consciousness and the Ultimate Truths of Reality. And in my opinion, at least, this is the real essence of those teachings. And this was a channeling from Mary, Mother Mary, through Jean Hatch. And this information, those Ultimate Truths of Reality, were kept in the mystery schools for about a couple thousand years. So that information came out about 5 years ago or so, and I think it's a really valuable connection. And when I did a show actually comparing the Ultimate Truths of Reality with Pleiadian teachings, with Bashar teaching, and they all perfectly coincide. So it's kind of like from Bashar coming from sometime in our future, from our past, and from current information from extraterrestrial sources. total connection, all, and most of that information is centered around belief. And that's what basically, in a nutshell, ET Yoga is all about. It's called What You Believe Is. And I hope I've shed some light on the connection between extraterrestrial information and yoga, and also made a connection that most people don't know about, and that's the connection between yoga and Christ. So hope you found some of that interesting. And as usual, at the end of the programs, I'd like to wish everyone out there my sincere best towards your attainment of full consciousness, perfect health, and abundance. And hopefully the guys in the booth now will close the program with the XYZ Extraterrestrial Meditation by Bashar.
I'd like to share with you the XYZ Extraterrestrial Meditation. First, you need to get really relaxed, either lying down or sitting comfortably or even standing up, whatever is the most comfortable for you. I then suggest taking a couple of deep breaths and imagine yourself in your perfect place of peace. You haven't a worry in the world and are just relaxing in your perfect place of peace. Then imagine the following. Around the area of your heart or solar plexus, just behind that area, is a bright ball of white light. It is a packet of energy that is your essence. This star that you feel inside yourself, this ball of light, now grows and grows and grows in intensity and gets stronger and stronger and stronger until it bursts forth as a beam of light, a laser-like beam bursting out of the front of you and stretches as far as you can imagine infinity to be. Stretching, stretching out as a beam of light beyond the solar system, beyond the Milky Way galaxy, and beyond. Going faster and faster and faster all the way to infinity. But it is also elastic, so as it reaches infinity, it slows down and will stop and turn around, and as a solid beam, it will creep back towards you from the far reaches of infinity. Faster and faster and faster and faster and faster until it comes crashing through the center of your body and through you and out your back and all the way to infinity out the back. All the way out, further, further, until it reaches infinity and it returns, but a little faster now. And faster and faster and faster until it too crashes through you out the front all the way to infinity, but it returns even faster now out the back and out the front and out the back and out the front and out the back and out the front and out the back and out the front, back and forth, 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 and out the front and out the back and out the front and out the back and out the front and back and forth and back and forth and back and forth, and let yourself get used to this idea. And then when it gets right in the middle of your body, it crashes out the left side all the way to infinity and back out the right side all the way to infinity and turns and comes back through the center, out the left side and back out the right side and side to side and side to side and front and back 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 until you get used to the idea. And then you have created an X and Y axis. Now another beam goes crashing through your head up all the way to infinity and turns around and comes crashing back through your head and out the bottom and up and down 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 and back and forth and side to side and up and down and back and forth and side to side and up and down and back and forth and side to side and up and down and back and forth and side to side and up and down and back and forth and side to side and up and down and back and forth and side to side. And it begins to build, 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 and builds to build until an infinite number of rays fly out simultaneously to infinity and stay there. You are suspended on beams of light, and you are stabilized at infinity. You hang there for eternity at infinity. Then you start to notice little bits of pulses, symbols, and signals, like a web that you are in the center of. Bits of information coming and going from every dimension and every space and time that exists. Every doorway and every gateway and forms and ideas and messages and communications like a giant matrix. You feel the ebb and flow of the infinite possibilities from every space and time, from front and back and side to side and up and down, clickety-clack, 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 clickety-clickety-clickety-clickety-clickety-clickety-clack. Now send out one large pulse on every line outward and receive one large pulse coming back like a heartbeat. Boom, 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 boom. And now you're starting to sense a larger infinite mass mind behind this heartbeat, this pulse. It's like a gigantic awareness, one soul, one mind. You are suspended in the center of eternity. Boom, 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 boom. Now, with every heartbeat, a new breath, a new awareness, a new perspective, a new experience, a new sensation, a new dimension, a new galaxy, forever, forever, new, new, new. And now all the beams expand until you are surrounded in a sea of light that is becoming more transparent until it is like a bubble, but you can still hear it. Boom, 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 boom. You can feel the seed of all that is. And as the blood flows from your own heart, as the seed of the infinite of all that is, on that pulse you are connected from every direction and any direction simultaneously. And every time you remember your heartbeat, you will feel connected to this heartbeat. Be in your perfect place of peace and feel your heartbeat. Now, take a deep breath and feel refreshed, feel loved, and feel energized.